I don't like it when Sunday feels like Wednesday. But it's a good Wednesday to worship the Lord. Amen. Classes, you can be dismissed. The rest of you may be seated. I was studying this week and going over some scriptures and just kind of making some notes and highlighting. You know how you do with electronically. You can do it a little different than the old-fashioned pens and pencils. And this scripture, I read it, and I thought, this seems so familiar. And I thought, I believe I've used this scripture recently. And as I began to dig deeper, I realized I'd preached from this text 10 days ago, a week from Sunday. But this is Bible study. It's different. But it's one of those things that happens sometimes where I'll be on a kind of a subject that I just feel there's more meat left, and so I'll go back to it, and sometimes without realizing it. And so this is one of those scriptures. And I want to talk about being strong in the Lord. And my sermon was about strength in the Lord. But this is a Bible study, and it'll be different. Andrew Murray, a pastor from many, many years ago and an author, I have a couple of his books. He said, the Christian often tries to forget his weakness. God wants us to remember it, to feel it deeply. The Christian wants to conquer his weakness and to be freed from it. God wants us to rest and even rejoice in it. The Christian mourns over his weakness. Christ teaches his servants to say, I take pleasure in infirmities. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities. The Christian thinks his weaknesses are his greatest hindrance in life and service of God. But God tells us that it is the secret strength and success that we get. It is our weakness, heartily accepted and continually realized, that gives our claim and access to the strength of Him who said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes. So I have to have weakness. We all have weakness. But it is our weakness that brings a space for God's strength. It's what I cannot do that makes me realize what He can do. It's what I'm not that makes me realize what He is. And He truly is the great I am. Our weaknesses are the very place where God is working, and it's where the attention is. If you wonder where God is, He's in your weakness. The Lord can work in your misunderstandings. He can work in your point of confusion. Yes. Matter of fact, that's where God is working to bring order. And being strong in the Lord is not about quoting more scriptures than someone, although that helps you to be strong. It's not about praying longer than someone, although that will help you to be strong. But being strong in the Lord is allowing Him to have control of that area of your life where you're weak. And then let the weak say, I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Yes, this I used September the 1st on a Sunday. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, in the middle of the buffeting, in the middle of the battle, he may not have said this, but often it's when we can look back on where we were and what we were going through, then we can say, I know now that when I was going through that then, that it was the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes. He's told Paul, it's what you can't do about it that makes you strong in me, because I have to do it for you. Yes. I have to do it for you. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I get to the place where I cannot, I have just arrived where God can. And He will, and He does, and He has, and we all can testify about the things that God has done. See, there is a tendency to walk into a group of believers, and you may be talking with them, and they may be sharing testimonies, and there's a tendency to say, I would like to rise to the level they are. But the reason they are where they are is because God has risen to a level and they are in need, and God has filled those needs with His grace. Yes. That really is what levels the church out. It truly does. More is expected of us the longer we serve God. That's normal. That's good that God needs to be able to expect more out of us. We have to learn more and know more and apply things better. But it's our weakness that He is glorified in. It's what I can't do that the Lord stands there and says, let me help you out with this. This really was a serious issue with Paul. It wasn't a mild irritation, but rather it was a flaw that he had to deal with continually. And he mentioned his thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. The part it doesn't say is that the weakness can present itself as frustration, as fear. It can present itself as doubt, anxiety, and a host of other feelings. It's how we react to our weakness that really gets our attention. Our reaction to it would determine much. We can either say, well, I don't measure up to everybody else, so I'm just going to sit over here on the sidelines and watch the show and try to find somebody that's worse off than me. And we can do that and maybe identify with someone. But the Bible is saying His strength is made perfect where you can't. In your weakness, that's where God glorifies Himself. And so I really see this as everybody wins. Yes. Everybody wins like this. And because God, he the Bible said He condescends. And you don't like a condescending person, but it just means they come down. You don't like them, you know, looking down on you, but He condescends. He steps down to them who are of low estate. He comes down to their level. He doesn't look down from His lofty perch and shake His finger and say, shame on you, but He comes down amongst them. Right. Remember how He did in the Bible? That's God right there, the Sermon on the Mount. He sat on a hillside where they all could hear Him. He was right there in front of them. He got into the boat so they could hear Him. He said, let's push away so that I can have a theater of people there, and there's a little space and distance here, and I can talk to them. He walked out amongst them. The little boy come up to Him, little child, and they said, oh, no, don't bother Him. He goes, no, you need to let the kids get to me because I'm approachable. I'm approachable. They brought Him a woman that had committed adultery, and there she was in His midst, and they're waiting, you know, to stone this lady. Literally, they had rocks in their hands. And He said, all right, let's go. Let's start with you that have no sin. Go ahead and start throwing rocks. And bam, bam, the rocks fell to the ground. The men turned and left. Were those thine accusers? And she said, there are none. He goes, I'm not going to accuse you either. He went to where she was, the woman by the well. He stood by the well and waited on her. He told the disciples, you go and get food, and I'm just going to wait out here by the well. He knew the woman that was going to come out there. But he stood where he knew she would be, perhaps coming out there in the hottest part of the day so she wouldn't have to make eye contact with people that knew things about people that knew her. Because she'd been married 5 times, and the guy now is not even married. You know, she was a case. Can you imagine what she felt looking at the one that said, I'm the Messiah? But because He told her who she was, He told her, here's your weakness. This is your problem. I'm going to tell you, I know you intimately. I know that's your issue. And she went back and said, there's a man out here that's told me everything ever I did. Now, I'm not thinking she wants to go remind people of everything ever she did, but now there's somebody there that has compassion on her. And He's saying, you're not perfect, but you've got a space that I can fit in there. You've got a place that I can be your friend. I can be your comforter. I can be the one that justifies you. It's awesome that God takes what we think is the worst about us and says, I can use that. I can live in there. Amen. I can do things in your life because the things you can't do, I can do. And where you have lapses, where you have gaps in your character, God fills in all of that and is glorified in it. Now, I'm not saying it's a contest to see who's the worst and, you know, hey, I'm going to win a prize for being worse than anybody. No, we gradually grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a progressive thing. We grow in grace and knowledge, but we never get perfect because we still have to have God, and He rests in our imperfections, because as long as I'm breathing air, as long as I've got this body, I'm going to be needing Him to forgive me and excuse me. Amen. You're going to need to go to Him over and over again and say, Lord, I need You again. And, you know, it's me again. Here I am. Help me out one more time. You know, to answer what is your weakness question, We have to be honest and peer through the struggles and see really what the cause is so that we can let him there too. You know, we can't mask it and say, I'm appearing as if I'm everything, you know, I'm all that, and I'm you know, top level, whatever. The Lord doesn't even put us on levels. He just says, you're my kid, you're my child, I died for you. And so it's not a measure contest. It's just, is he glorified in our life? Do we let him in? It takes honesty to let him into our issues. It really does. It takes complete honesty. Now, there's a few people I'll mention there that made the list of people that weren't perfect. Eli the priest, one comes to mind. Eli, he was a bad priest in that he allowed his sons to just truly pollute the duty of sacrificial offerings. And when people would bring an offering, and they'd bring the meat offering, and they would take it and say, I'm going to take the prime rib, or I'm going to take this filet, and that's what we're taking. If you don't give it to us, we'll take it by force, so it's up to you. You want to fight, we can fight. But so people abhorred the kingdom. They abhorred the church. They abhorred that kind of worship. And then they, of course, met women at this is a great church, wasn't it? They met women, the Bible said, and they fornicated there with strange women. The priests, the two men that were acting as to facilitate worship. And so they were horrible. They were horrible. Worst church ever. And Eli allowed it. Eli just, you know, well, you know, I'm getting old. I'm just trying to run out my course. I'm retiring in 2 years, you know, so, you know, let's see. I'm going to get my gold watch and I'll be done. But the Lord was angry because of this. But he never corrected his son. So we've got some characters in the Old Testament that didn't measure up very well. But let's go to preachers. Jonah was a great preacher, I suppose. But when the Lord told him, I need you to go to Nineveh and tell them people to repent, he went literally. I mean, I looked at the map the other day. He went literally the opposite direction. By the time the ship took out, it was going exactly the opposite direction, and the ship started storming, the waves beat in, and the men said, what's the guy down there sleeping? Something's going on with him. And they knew that he was the one, and he said, if you'll throw me overboard, everything's going to be all right. That's pretty bad when you are that bad off that you know I'm the reason that you guys are about to sink this boat. And they threw him overboard, and when he hit the water, splash, peace. Yep. And they knew, and they sacrificed. Now, I've wondered how somehow information had to get back, because this was a big deal. Just because Jonah's 4 chapters, don't think it wasn't a big deal. People heard about this. Yeah. And the Bible says those men made sacrifices unto the Lord God. Yeah. Because they were wondering, what God is it that's in charge here? But when they threw him over and it was peace be still, they sacrificed to the Lord. They said, we owe God something for this because we could have been lost too. But he headed the other direction, of course, you know, assisted by a whale. But he gets there and preaches. It didn't have to go that way. Jonah, what about just going and obeying first? Forgetting the boat trip. Just, you would have gotten there so much sooner. Your revival would have been over. And we realized Jonah had an attitude issue because of the fig tree and all of that. But again, he's a guy that the Lord chose because he was harsh. And apparently he had an anointing. When he said, repent, people repented. And then we got someone like King Saul, who just didn't care about spiritual things. He enjoyed the anointing. He enjoyed the fame and fortune, but he didn't enjoy anything spiritual. And so his connection with God was a vial of oil. And his test, he failed his test. He didn't wait for Samuel the prophet to come and pray over the battlefield and make a sacrifice. He said, you know, it's late. It's 7. He's supposed to be here at 7:15. And we're just going to go ahead and let's go without him. And he just go ahead and starts the sacrifice as if, because I'm king, I can do what the pastor was going to do. And then Samuel shows up knowing, because he's a prophet, knowing that if I wait just a few more minutes, I'm going to see the true self. I'm going to see who he is. I'm going to see his weakness. But what the preacher did is came and told him what his weakness was, and he heard what his weakness was, but he didn't fix his weakness. Right. He told him what it was. And then when he fought the Amalekites, he said, utterly destroy him. He didn't utterly destroy him. And the preacher came back and said, you didn't utterly destroy him, because you've got King Agag there. I hear the sheep and the cows. I hear the mooing and all of that. You didn't utterly destroy. Well, I kept the best part. In other words, no, I didn't utterly destroy it. And he said then, God has rejected you. You are a reject. And he's chosen a man that's after his own heart. You're not after the heart of God. There's somebody else he's chosen. That sermon that Samuel preached to that king I don't know how much he believed it. I don't know how much he embraced it. But he had a weakness that he didn't let God into. And it was disastrous after that. Saul, you're just a has-been. Solomon was David's son. You know, I skipped David. I could go into all the goodness of David. We know that. But just want to, for time's sake, just skip over to Solomon. He had potential. Great deal of potential because God gifted him. He asked him in a dream, you know, ask what you want and I'll give it to you. And he said, Lord, just give me wisdom to govern your people. The Lord was so impressed with that he said, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. You're going to be famous and you're going to have wealth and you're going to have the wisdom to govern the people. Now, you may feel and think that Solomon went right out immediately to shop for wives, but he didn't. It was a process. He married somebody and another king favored him and he, you know, married this other king's daughter and on and on. In his early years, he was tender before the Lord. But eventually, and we see this with Eli the priest, at the end of his career, he began to get a little more out of tune with God. And that's what happened to Solomon. He got out of favor with God. And the Bible said he allowed his wives to turn his heart from God in his later years. All of these I mentioned were weak to the point of failure. They failed to be strong in the Lord. They didn't pull God into their problems. Because God is glorified in what we invite him to take charge over in our life. He's glorified. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need this in this day we live in. We need to stand against his tricks. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the host of wickedness in heavenly places, spiritual host of wickedness. We're wrestling against that. Today commemorates 18 years since 9/11. That is spiritual wickedness in high places. When you want to know what does evil look like, that's what evil is. That's what evil looks like. And we wrestle against it. But then why aren't there more of those? Because we have a greater power on our side. Amen. We really do not understand the great power at our disposal. We don't understand. I want to tell you something. Your weakness, your frailty, the fact that you're just this person, one person. You're one. We got these individuals here tonight. Do you understand that you have the power through prayer to truly, you as an individual, to pull down strongholds of hell? You have the power. You as an individual have the power to bust the gates open and go in and take those captives and bring them back. You can begin to mention your loved one, your friend in prayer, and you've got the power to release them, to cause them to break free, to come to church and be delivered through the power of a church. Amen. You have that potential. We have that potential. We don't need to compromise it by getting close to the world and where the lines get blurred. But we got a great deal of potential in our spoken words. The word of faith which we speak. Amen. So he said, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then having done all, to stand. We're not weary. We don't get weary and fall out of the battle line. God strengthens us. He blesses us. He lifts us up. Be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord means that I must be in him in order to be strong. Not next to him, not apart from him, not, Lord, I think I feel you. But in him means that I am walking with the Lord. Amen. I'm letting him take me where I need to go. I'm walking with the Lord. You can walk with the Lord and eat a hamburger. You know, it doesn't pause. You can eat a hamburger. You can walk with the Lord and listen to your radio. You can walk with the Lord and talk about politics. You're going to have to repent after that because you're going to get all fired up, but you still can walk with the Lord. See, that is a gray area there, you know. You could lose your victory. And so keep it good. Keep it above board. But strong in the Lord means that I have to, I must stay close by way of my thinking and my acting in order to operate in strength. So it's really easier done, of course, It's easier done when you're on the battlefield, when you're facing the issue. We can really rise up in faith when we're facing an issue sometimes, when we're on the battlefield, when we're truly at the point of contact, and we reach out to God and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I need your power. I need your peace right now, God, to come into this place. We have the power to do that. If we ever are going to make a difference in the world around us, we've got to know that it's the word of faith that we speak that is so powerful. I mean, go ahead and call the pastor, call the pastor's wife, call the teachers, call whoever you want to, but don't forget the fact that in your mouth is the word of faith that you speak. It is powerful. You can speak things and they will happen because God is a powerful God. And this battlefield that we're in, it's real, but we are already deemed the winners. Amen.
Amen.
Just this is the don't I'm going to bring to you. I'm going to be mostly positive, but here's a don't. Just don't belittle yourself by thinking, well, I don't know that much. There's words you can learn. There's scriptures you can learn. There's Bible you can read. But in the meantime, and oh, that's where we spend most of our time in the meantime, understand, if you know the name of Jesus and you know how to call on that name, you've got the power.
Yes.
Amen. You've got the power to say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, open that door right now. In the name of Jesus, give me direction right now. I'm talking about being strong in the Lord. He is strong where we're weak. And I tell you, we're, as human beings, we don't have a lot of power except through Christ. And that's where we are very, very powerful. In the Lord, that's that gap where my strength should be, but where I am instead weak. I'm weak. I should be strong, but I'm weak there. And the Lord looks at my weakness and says, no, no, that's good. I can work with that. I can work with that. Because, see, my power is what you're going to depend on, not yours. And so he lets me know it's his power, not mine. And he's given us his name. We can even use his name. And he said, you know, there's power in that name. Speak the name. There's power there. Power to do what? To break, to push down strongholds. Amen. Power in the spirit realm to rebuke spirits. There's power of healing. Lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Don't approach a sick person with that mindset of, well, I don't know. No, just say, God's already deemed it's possible, and I'm going to pray for somebody. Think of the potential that's just here tonight, that we could turn our worlds around. Amen. God is awesome. Romans 14 and 13 says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. We're weak enough. So he said, don't make it worse. Don't put a stumbling block in their way. I know him and convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Yet your brother is grieved because of your food. If he's grieved, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be evil, spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not about the food we eat. It's not about regulations of food and diet. That's not the kingdom of God. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify or lift up another. Let's pursue the path of making each other better.
Amen.
Making each other better. Amen.
Yes.
Simon was weary and waiting on dinner to get ready. And they way, 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 way before microwaves. And so he's up there on the rooftop. And as he's kind of up there resting, he kind of gets into a trance. And the Lord lets down this white sheet held by the four corners, and he showed him these animals, and it's all the animals they couldn't eat, all these you know, cloven footed animals and that don't chew the cud. You know how Exodus talks about the animals, or Leviticus, the animals you can't eat. It was all the animals you can't eat, the ones you can't eat. And he said, kill and eat. And he said, nope, 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 Lord, you're not going to trick me on that one. And he let it down three times. What the Lord was about to do is introduce him to the Gentiles being filled with the Holy Ghost. So he was saying, look, Peter, look, what I've cleansed, don't call unclean. So he was opening a door to him, saying it's not about dietary restrictions anymore. He goes, this is new. Old Testament, new. And so you're going to go to some Gentiles and you're going to preach to them. And there, about that time, there's a knock in the door. God's timing is impeccable and perfect. And those men had been a two-day journey there. And they're standing at the door saying, you're the one that we're supposed to come to. We have a man that God showed him a vision and told him it's about you. And you need to come. And there he goes to Cornelius' house. And he goes with a couple of his friends and these guys. And the entourage opens the door and goes in there. And there's Cornelius. And he says, so why am I here? Well, you're here because I saw a vision a few days ago, and the Lord said I was to call for you, and you were going to come and tell me about this salvation. And he began to tell them about it, because now he's realizing the Lord has opened the door to the Gentiles. And while he's talking to them, and you know, it didn't say he was frothing at the mouth and preaching and sweating. He was just talking to them about salvation. And the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. 12 people all of a sudden received the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Amen. Letting them understand there's no restrictions. There's no division anymore. God has said everybody's going to. If the door is being opened to all of them. See, some people, due to weakness, may stand on their own unique convictions. That's all right, unless those convictions are already turned over in the Word of God. Then they're going to cause confusion. Now, I don't know any that does this. Trust me, you may be thinking, who's he talking about? I don't know. I'm just reading some scriptures and talking truly. But I'm saying sometimes people can, because of their weakness, they desire to have more things they can attach to themselves to make them feel secure. We don't believe this. We don't believe that. You know, there's things we don't do. We don't snort Coke here. We drink it in a bottle or a can, Coca-Cola. All right? Now, you want me to go down the list? Now, we don't need to do that. We know what's acceptable. You know, we talk about it in other lessons, not this one tonight. But the point is, God has given us liberty. Liberty to sin, liberty to fornicate. No. Liberty to live for Him in a way that allows us to enjoy this life, but at the same time, connect with people and tell them about Him. Yeah. So we don't say, first, let me tell you the rules. No, we just come to our church and just worship with us, and that's really what you got to fall in love with. And we're just people. That's what we are. And so Simon, it blew his mind. I don't know if that was the word they'd used there, but it really rocked his world back and forth. And he left there and he said, I've got to tell everybody about this. This is amazing. And when he told them, they said, whoa, wait a minute. You said they were Gentiles. He goes, you got to hear the whole story. Yeah. The Lord has opened the door to the Gentiles. Yeah. He goes, so we're all one now. It made so much sense that the God who created the heavens and the earth was going to say, I love everybody. Yeah. It's not just one sect of people. Paul later writes, he says in Romans, he said, you know, what the Lord did is he came through the Jews. Yeah. He goes, but then he was able to provoke them to jealousy by reaching out to the Gentiles. And by doing so, he gets both of them. And now they're saying, we want it. No, the Gentiles have it. So then the Jews said, no, we really want it. And they all got it. Everybody has this salvation, and it's awesome. See how God did this? And I don't have time to go. That's not a part of my lesson today. But see how he did it? He provoked the Jews to jealousy. And they said, he's ours. Jesus was from us. And they're going to fight over it. And the Gentiles are like, we're fighting over it because it's just awesome. And Paul said, see what he did? He just brought them all together. Because it's the greatest thing ever in the world, best thing it's ever known. So some may regard something, you know, evil that you have no issue with. Don't try to free him or them from their convictions. It may be something they need. You know, everybody's different. And so that might be something that they need. And so it may save them. It's not eating and drinking. That's Old Testament. But the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But Paul tells him, he goes, if you've got a brother that has a weakness and so there's something he doesn't want to eat, don't mess with him. Let him be that way. Because this is not about restrictions like that. We need to get along and understand it's about the power of God. Convictions is what keeps you from the dangerous neighborhoods spiritually. I love convictions. We need convictions. We don't need to try to overcome them by just, you know, going roughshod over the things that we used to feel guilty about. Spiritually speaking, convictions will keep you safe from slipping away into sin before you look up one day and realize that, you know, you're right there at the waterfall about to go overboard. Right. I'm reading my last scripture, so this is how you know that I'm almost through. Plus, it's 21 after. Isaiah 40 in verse 48. Have you not known? I'm sorry, 40 and 28. There's no 48. 40 and 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Right. He gives power to the weak. He takes the weak person and says, you are going to have my power. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. He comes around to us and says, how you feeling? Not too good. I'm going to lift you up a little bit. How you doing? I'm just flat on my back. I'm picking you up. I'm going to give you something to clap about, something to praise me for. He goes around whatever you need. He wants to give that to you. Do you realize? Gentle Savior. I misunderstood. Let me give you some understanding. I'm hurt. Let me heal the hurt. I don't know why. Let me just answer the question. Or let me put your mind at ease. He's there to just whatever we need. It's that weakness that we become strong in. Our weakness, where we're frail, where we're hurting. He says, that's where I'm going to help you at. To those who have no might, he increases strength. He is strong where you're weak. That's his strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That's normal. He's talking about just in normal life, this is what happens. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That this here is not, you know, it doesn't blow your mind. We've heard this scripture before, and a lot of this is just reminding ourselves. But they that wait on him patiently stand still and say, Lord, I'm waiting on your help to arrive. Not going to make the decision, Lord. I'm waiting on your help. He says, those that wait on the Lord are going to renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and they won't faint. Situations that normally would have pulled them back, destroyed them, isn't going to happen because they waited on the Lord. It's about the timing of it all. Lord, when do I need to do what? And the Lord will say, just wait, just wait, just wait, just wait. It's never a great season to be impulsive in spiritual matters. Standing still and waiting on the Lord. Our Savior's nature is that of understanding. He's never tired or weary with you. He never gets weary with you. Oh, he does me because I failed. No, he doesn't. I'm reading the Word of God. He will not grow weary with you. Someone said, Lord, how many times should we forgive our brothers? You know, 5, 6, 7. He goes, 70 times 7. Whoa. Well, you know what? If somebody is offending you that many times, you've got the right to new zip code. But he said, you still, if you're going to stand there and be taken advantage of, 70 times 7, in other words, infinite number of times you must forgive your brother. Okay, if he's asking me to forgive somebody that many times, is he asking me to go beyond what he would ever do? No. What I'm having to gather from this is he forgives me over and over again. And again and again. He gives power to the weak. Those who have no might or force, he increases strength. Waiting on God means to cease from our feeble attempts to be strong on our own. And wait for that former and latter rain. In other words, that's talking about seasons. Former rain and latter rain. With God, there's kindness, there's goodness. He's wonderful. But we also are in a world, in a life, living for God, where there are seasons that we go through. And your season and mine may be different. And so I may be blessed while you're going through the low place. But at the same time, our God is faithful. Yours is faithful. He's the same God I have. And he is able to come to you at that point of your weakness and minister to you at that point of your weakness and lift you up. Cease from those feeble attempts to be strong on our own and wait for that former and latter rain. It takes some seasons to be seasoned in the Lord. It takes some good seasons. Amen. Let us stand. And I'd like for you, if you could help me, I think this would end this service really well. If you wouldn't mind just walking down here. If you don't feel like it, that's all right. If you're crippled and you need us to come pray for you, raise your hand and we'll come pray. But let's gather down here. And what I want to do tonight is, I was telling my wife a while ago, I said, I don't want any music at the end. I said, really? I just want us to pray, because I want us to, in our mouth, speak words. I want us to speak out as we talk to God. No one else needs to hear us, but we're going to speak out words and say, Lord, here's where I'm weak at. Here, God, I'm about to tell you, Lord, this is where my problem is. And when you speak that issue, all of us together, nobody's listening to anybody, but when we name it, it puts it out there. It becomes now something we've asked God to deal with. God is hearing us tonight, church. God is wanting us to take our burdens and bring them to Him right now. Let's go to Him in prayer right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, You are our hope. You're our salvation. God, I thank You so much today for what You've already done. But Lord, You have brought people here tonight, Lord, from all over town, from each direction. And they're coming not just from directions, Lord, but they're coming from situations. And some of them standing right now in the middle of a valley of decision. Some of them trying to wade their way through issues and problems. But God, I know today that through the suffering and through our weakness, God, that is where You are mighty and that is where You are strong. And Lord, I'm asking in Your name above every name, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, breathe on us right now. And Lord, let us go back and face our problem and see that it's being solved. And let us see the wind begin to blow and the problem begin to move and God begin to heal and You begin to transform, Lord. And oh, all of this on a midweek Wednesday night, God, a great time, Lord, for Your blessings and Your goodness and Your power. And we thank You, Father. We praise You and lift You up, Lord. We praise Your name and lift You up. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings. Thank You, Lord, for knowing us by name. Thank You, Lord, for knowing our todays and our tomorrows. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, You're our friend. Oh, God, You condescend to them of low estate. Yes, You do.